Well, this is different. It seems so, it's like it's informal, but it's not. So it's just this own, its own hybrid thing. But I'm standing up here like I can't even find my spot. Anybody know where Psalms is at? Yeah. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 37. Tonight. Psalms 37. I guess we do need to practice again before we start having Sunday school. If we just ease back into it, it may be 15-minute sermons for a couple weeks until Sunday school lesson. Or it may be the other way. It took us a while to tone her down. All right. Psalms 37. Just a real simple thought here tonight. I want to talk about something that it was a reference that somebody used during a sermon I heard here a while back. And it was just a verse. And I read on past that verse. And these four specific verses just kind of really jumped out at me here about, you know, just the way the Lord, how they were laid out in the scriptures. You know, nothing's ever done accidentally concerning God's word. Even the stuff that we may, even like you talked about this morning, wishing that wasn't there. That. But at the same time, it's there for a reason. And so everything's laid out just like it's supposed to be. And it's one of those things where I think one of these days we're going to be real shocked at how simple things really were, how it was all laid out, and it was just, there it was. It was so simple, and it was so plentiful to find the plan. And Old Testament, New Testament, don't matter. The Lord laid it all out for us, and it's there. And it's funny how sometimes when we hunt for it, it's hard to find it. And when we're not looking for it, it's just like it just jumps out. But I don't know. I guess everybody that's been preaching in the last few weeks or in the last month or so, it all has to deal with fear or, you know, God's got this or, you know, something to do with that to try to bring some peace to everybody's troubled mind. But I don't know. I think about it, and it's ironic to me that that's what everybody's... Most preaching is dictated by the circumstances that the world provides and not about the reality and the truth of what is in God's word all the time and what we're, you know, our duty to God and our duty to man. And it made me stop and think about when we do preach, when I preach, you know, is what I say, is it dictated by what's went on in my life that week? Well, I mean, those things are fodder for what you think about and what you hunt for in God's word. You know, you do play off of that a little bit in your things going on in your own life. But, you know, there's something that everybody's looking for no matter what the circumstances are, whether it's some global pandemic or whether it's a marriage that's falling apart or a kid, a child that, you know, you just can't seem to reach. They're just gone to the wind. And everybody is looking for the same thing, and it's rest. I mean, we talk about how one day in heaven that rest is going to be like our eternal reward or whatever, you know, how people say that, you know, rest. And you've heard you say it before. What's the feeling that you're going to feel when you wake up on that shore someday? And it's just rest. All of this gone. All of everything that makes up our life, the good and the bad, just a vapor that's just going away. And, you know, I really wonder if we'll even remember any of it at all. He said he'd wipe all the tears from our eyes. Well, I don't know. I don't see how you could enjoy eternity if you were still hanging on to something that happened here. And I don't think it will be that way.
No.
It'll be the absolute definition of what rest is. But ain't there something in the Bible about how he's promised rest to his people before you die? Mm-hmm. I mean, ain't that what it's all about in the first place? And that's what everybody's hunting for. You know, they're looking for a way to find peace and rest. Yes. And yeah, I mean, this pandemic's got everybody, you know, up sideways, and for good reason. There's a lot of people that, you know, we joke around about it. Well, it ain't affected me that much. My life was already, you know, cloistered somewhere. But it ain't that way for everybody. No. You know, there's a lot of people where this has undone their life. I mean, you know, I've talked to quite a few people through my own business and stuff. And you mentioned it earlier about, you know, food service people, restaurants and different things like that. And little businesses, like, heard about, you know, and this is just one guy, but, you know, he invested his entire life savings in January into a restaurant that he'd been planning on doing all of his life in January. And then that's it. It's done. It's gone. Like, his all of his life's work just evaporated before his eyes. And maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. He don't, you know, looks pretty bleak for him. So it's affected different people in a lot of different ways. But at the end of the day, all of us, whether we're scared of what could be or, you know, sorrowing for what already has been, what are you looking for? Well, some rest. I mean, just us hillbillies out here, there's nothing we can really do to change what's going on. There's only coping with what's imposed on you or expected of you, and whatever you can do to try to make it all go. But at the end of the day, as Christians, where are we supposed to be getting our rest from? My whole point about this is that most people look for peace and rest in all the wrong places. And they look to try to gain it by doing things outside of the plan that God's laid out. And this right here, I mean, David wrote this, a Psalm of David. Let's read it, starting in verse 1 of chapter 37, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. He's going to say it again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Send it again. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, look at this however you want to apply it to your current situation, but there's you a step-by-step plan of how to wind up with some peace at the end of the day. I mean, he's made it real simple. You know, any kind of relationship that we get into in this, even an earthly relationship, let's take a relationship between a man and a woman. I mean, the Lord calls us his bride, and I don't know, it's always been fascinating to me how that relationships between a man and his wife on this earth are so reflective of, you know, the relationship between God and his church. And how does any relationship, an earthly relationship between a man and a woman, how does it always start? I mean, and I'm not talking about attraction and that kind of thing. I'm talking about getting down to serious, you know, do we have something here? Well, what is it? What will people tell you that a good relationship is always built on first?
Trust.
I mean, it kind of goes without saying, you know, are you going to want to, you know, pursue a future with someone man or woman, when you know they're not trustworthy, of course you're not. But it has to be built on trust. Another little fact about a relationship and trust is that one always trusts more than the other one does. Inevitably. You're not going to find anyone who will be honest with you about even how it was in the beginning of their relationship. Maybe some young couple that still, I mean, hasn't been, their relationship hasn't been tempered by trials and hardships. But that would tell you that they're in the beginning, especially, that their relationship, but you know, I trusted her more than she trusted me, or vice versa. Well, trust is one of those things that is built, but Jesus took care of that a long time ago. He doesn't have to prove anything to us. In our relationship with him, I believe it's pretty obvious who is trustworthy and who's not. So right out of the gate, this thing isn't up for debate about whether he's going to come through for you or whether you can trust him or not, whether he's going to be dependable or not. No. I mean, the Bible is full of accounts from different people and exhortation from prophets and apostles and everything about the trustworthiness of God. I mean, it goes without saying, it sounds elementary, but he's trustworthy. I mean, fretting. You know, it's the first thing he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, what do you fret over evildoers? I do all the time. You know, the news is full of nothing but the accounts of what evildoers are doing. You know, everything. And it's like they give you just enough information to sow the seeds of fretting and worry and doubt and fear. And then they go away. And then they just let it sprout in your own mind, and you just become, some people are able to compartmentalize it and just move on with life, and some people, it just sinks their boat, man. I mean, they become completely obsessed with what might become from what information they've been given. They fret. Fretting is fear with murmuring and anger. Because I've heard, how many times have I heard it come out of my own mouth in the last 6 weeks? You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it sure is aggravating what's already happened and what's going on and what they're doing, and I can't do this and blah, blah, you know, and I'll tell you what I'll do. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, this whole thing, you know, and something that I've heard that gripes me, and it's also kind of surprising who I'm hearing say it. But this thing about the earth is striking back at us. You know, the earth has had her fill and she's setting us straight. You know, she's had her, I guess, you know, yeah. That's nonsense. Yep. And it's also nonsense to sit and, well, look, the Bible said in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Evildoers. And people who will feed you a line of lies to make you believe something that's not true. And, you know, waxing worse and worse is a pretty generalized statement. I mean, so look around, and it's not no big surprise that, you know, untrustworthy people are where a lot of the information you get is coming from that make you fret. Yeah, that's right. And at the end of the day, I don't want to be fretting. I want some peace and rest.
Yes.
And what this has done, and it's you know, it's polarized. It's made us even more polarized, you know, the nation. It's only giving you really two sides to choose from. And it's making people have to seriously consider where their peace, if it's even real.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are asking themselves some hard questions and having to do some serious examination about, have I just been, you know, have I been getting my peace from God? Or has it been coming from the security I feel in someone else?
Yeah.
You know, my church family. I mean, how many people have come unraveled since church has been, you know, effectively eliminated from a lot of people's lives?
Yeah.
And how many people are still just planting tomatoes and mowing the grass and, you know, going to work if they can and just plodding along and trying to be a blessing somehow? Well, It all boils back to where your peace comes from. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. It's hard to do good if you're, or hard not to do good if you're trusting in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, you don't find someone very often who doesn't do good who also trusts in the Lord. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron. It doesn't really happen in the coming from the, it's like sweet waters and bitter coming from the same fountain. It does not happen. And so trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. I mean, look, I am not perfect, but something that the Lord has helped me with in the last quite a few years here has been, it's like going to school every day, learning how to trust the Lord through a lot of different circumstances that He's brought into my life, whether it's, you know, just providing to pay my bills and buy groceries with, or, you know, things more, you know, earth shaking than that. And I've learned to trust Him with the little things. And so when the bigger things come along, because of what He's taught me, it's been easier to trust Him with these things too. And that's how it works. I mean, in a relationship with between a man and a woman, the first thing, and it's comical, I see these, and I can say this, I see these kids on Facebook and, you know, happy 2 month anniversary, baby. We've had some, you know, we had a little bump we run into the other day, but after some long conversations, we worked it out and things are going to be great. And I'm like, what was you discussing on where you were going to get your cheeseburger tonight? Like Sonic or McDonald's? Was that the big argument? Or been some hard times, but you know, and I'm thinking to myself, see, our relationship with God is not like that. He's not going to take us through the depths of despair. He's going to ease us into it. So, you know, there. I hope I'm explaining this the right way. He giveth more grace. Isn't that how that poem goes? Mm-hmm. When the what?
When the burdens grow greater.
And, you know, He's not going to demand what you cannot do. And so trust. There has to be this trust there. It all begins with that. It begins that way between a man and a woman, and then it's built on from there. And it's that way with God too. The next verse says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. One of the definitions that Mr. Webster said about delight was, it is a more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. You know, delight thyself also in the Lord. Well, that means that your happiness, see, delight is like the verb form of happiness. It's like an expression of happiness, but it isn't dependent on something happening right now and always being there. It's based on something deeper than that, which hails back to the verse before, trust. I mean, there's times when I don't really like her. And there's times when I know she really don't like me. But I still delight in her. Because it's built on something deeper than just what's happening right in this moment. What about your children? What about your babies? You know, you were talking about the calamities in the car and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something. I look at these little kids. And, you know, y'all's little babies, and I delight in them. My own children, I see them growing up and, you know, becoming adults and the people that they're going to be, and I see things in them that, Lord, I've prayed to see in them, and I delight in that. And is it always there? No. Is there times when I say, man, I wish I hadn't seen you do that? Yeah. But it doesn't change my hopes in them. And it doesn't change the delight that I feel in when I see them do right. It's the same way in this matter of delighting in the Lord. You know, are there times when you're going to turn around and you thought He was there and it don't feel like He's there no more? Yeah. Of course. You know, but your delight in him shouldn't depend on, you know, the sudden excitement that's there all the time when you feel him slip his arm around you. I mean, I think about my kids, and I've told them this, you know, look, I want to see you making some choices on your own, because I'm not going to be able to be there for you and make them for you for the rest of your life. I hope I'm around for at least counsel sometimes, but there will come a day when, you know, I'm not going to be there. And so I want to see them. And I'll put them in situations sometimes where they got to make a choice. I want to see them make a choice on their own. Even if it's about something simple, I want to see them make that decision and see, it's kind of let you know what's going on up here and here. And so, you know, my delight in them doesn't depend on what's happening immediately. Our delight in the Lord shouldn't depend solely on what's happening on to us right at this moment. If that was the case, how in the world did Paul and Silas sing in the jail at night after they'd got the hide beat off of them again and thrown in jail? Well, they delighted in the Lord. That's why they could sing. It wasn't dependent on their circumstances at the moment. Right. And it's something to keep in mind with what we're going through globally, I guess, right now. But also, I mean, because what do you think is going to happen come May the 3rd or whenever it is if they say, well, sorry, guys, 30 more days. What do you think this world's going to do? They're going to be doing some major fretting. Yeah. And if we're not careful, we will too. Because we're hanging all of our delight in the fact that everything's going to go back to normal next week. But what if it don't? You know? Your delight in the Lord and delight in the things that he provides, it ought to come from somewhere besides what's happening right at that moment. So, in a relationship, you trust and you build off of that and you see that grow into something that you delight in. And when things happen like they should, in the order that they should, even, you know, I'm talking about physical relationships, but also the applications there spiritually too. You put the cart before the horse, in physical relationships, everything's all wrong. Like, from then on, really. You do it spiritually, in your relationship with God, it's going to be all wrong. It's kind of like the lie that happened, the sin David committed. And then from that point on, there had to be something fabricated to try to hold it up and prop it up. And it was all lies until it all fell down. And it'll be the same way with your spiritual relationship or even an earthly relationship with someone. If you build it on something that ain't there, or try to put the cart before the horse, it's going to be all wrong. But if you do it the right way, then the one begets the next thing. And then that begets the next thing. And out of a relationship that's growing this way, the next thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to have a desire for there to be more of a commitment. That's why it's the next verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's going to be a desire for there to be a deeper level of commitment as this relationship grows. And keep in mind, you know, think about before you was married. I mean, and of course, I don't like to think about it much because I feel like the kids I was talking about a while ago and all my fears being so monumental that I had about what could be or what couldn't be or what might happen or not happen before she's mine for real. And they were all so unfounded that now you look back on them and they're just foolish fears. Everything was built upon fear because there wasn't trust built yet, see? It was all fear. And me trying to, you know, stake my claim so that no one could take it away from me. Then we could start building on something. And everything was backwards, see? Fear. Fear was the motivator instead of trust. And you enter into a marriage like that, and you're going to drag fear and mistrust along with you for a long time. And it'll affect things. It'll affect your spiritual relationship with God too. And when it comes time at the, you know, when the point of the relationship gets to the point where there's supposed to be some commitment now, you're still going to be scared of things that aren't you supposed to be scared of no more. And so trust and delight, then commitment. Commitment starts coming. I see these young people that enter into a relationship and they commit as if they had years of trust and delight already invested in this. And they don't. You know, they act like they're married and they don't even know each other. And then when it comes time to trust each other, there's literally none there. And then they don't know what to do. Then they don't delight. They never, you know, delight was coming from something else and not in the trust that's built between two people. So, and then people wonder why there's no commitment and everyone bails. It's that simple. People do it to God every day. They enter into a relationship with Him based on emotion and delight that is coming from a selfish place. And then when it comes time for commitment and trust, they bail. Right. They don't trust Him because they don't know Him. Yeah. And they're not going to commit to anything that don't benefit them in some way. Yeah. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will bring it to pass. He shall bring what to pass? Whatever it is you're supposed to be trusting Him for. You know, you may or may not know what the direction's going to be. Do we know what's going to happen next week, next month, even concerning this pandemic? Of course we don't. You know, trust Him. Yes. He'll bring whatever's supposed to come to pass.
That's right, yes, sir.
Trust Him.
That's right.
And He shall bring forth, if you'll do that, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. See, because remember back what it said, trust in the Lord and do good. That's our duty to Him. What does it say? This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments.
Yep.
That's it. For this is the whole duty of man. What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's what will be counted to you for righteousness. And then He said, if you will do these things, He'll bring forth thy righteousness as the light. And thy judgment as the noonday. He'll give you wisdom on what to do when the time comes to make a choice, to make a decision. Why do you think He told them, don't take no thought about what you're going to say when you stand before those people that are got you on trial for your faith? Well, because He said, I'll give you the words to say. And it's the same thing here. You trust Him and do good. And He'll take care of all that other stuff. And He'll give you wisdom to make the right choices when the time comes. And then, verse 7, rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Because it's not always going to happen on your timeline or mine. Earthly relationships are kind of the same way. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, everybody in the world has got relationship advice for someone else. It just seems like everybody's got it, or wrote a book or has a conference or has a shingle hung out for counseling or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's real simple. And it's kind of like what, you know, John's father-in-law told him. You live your life to make her happy. And you live your life to make Him happy. And if you do that, you both be happy. Sounds real simple. Because it is.
Yes.
All the other conflicts in life come from you pursuing after your own path.
Absolutely.
In order to attain peace and rest. Whether it's in your relationship with your wife or your husband or your kids or your mom and dad or God. And, you know, trust in the Lord, do good. Delight in Him, commit thy way into Him, you'll have rest in the Lord. But you're going to have to wait patiently for Him. Yeah. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, like what's happening right now in our world. I mean, you know, You ever talk about something for so long that you're just sick and tired of talking about it? That's where I'm at with this stupid virus thing. I'm so sick of hearing it. You walk through the grocery store, that's all anybody's talking, literally, to each other. That's what they're talking about. You know, before this all came along, I felt this way about sports because that's what everybody wants to talk about all the time. I mean, I don't care.
No.
It makes this much difference. I mean, somehow the world has kept on turning, even though there hasn't been any March Madness or any basketball games or the football season coming on. You know, somehow it's happened. But, you know, if it wasn't that they're talking about, they got something else to talk about. I'm so tired of talking about it.
Vanity.
It's all vanity. Yes. There ain't nothing to it. But that's the thing about this virus thing going around. Everybody, that's all anybody talks. It has literally just overwhelmed everyone's mind to the point where that's all the world is doing is fretting. Fret. And I find myself asking myself questions about, well, you know, and it's all based on what's going on and what some evildoer is going to do, or what some evildoer has said today, or where this came from in the first place, and trying to figure out, like, you know, did it come from Wuhan, or did it come from the bat, or did it come from a lab, or did it come from Bill Gates, or did it come from, you know, or what they're trying to do, and all. Look, fret not thyself because of evildoers. They shall soon be cut down as the grass, he said. You know, he didn't tell us we wouldn't be affected by it. He just said they will be cut down. You will, what did he say? For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. I mean, look, that's what he told us, so we can trust him. He gave us the information we needed to be able to fully put our trust and our confidence in the fact that, as they like to coin the term, God's got this, but it really is in his hands, you know. So fret not yourself. You want some peace and you want some rest? Here's how to have it. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That sounds like utopia, don't it? Delighting, remember what we said? It's more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. Delighting in the Lord and delighting in the abundance of peace. Well, that's what's coming. And, you know, we've always said it and we all have known it. You know, we may not have an abundance of peace here in good old America before it's all over with. But we still can trust in him and have confidence in the fact that he's promised us if you'll do these things, you'll have rest and you'll have peace. And in the end, the wicked, you ain't even going to be able to find where they were. You can even look hard for them. They're not going to be there no more. And you will be able to delight in the abundance of peace. That's about as positive of an outcome as we could ever imagine as people. And, you know, it's that way in our relationship with God. It's that way in our relationship with each other, too. You know, if we would follow this simple guideline here, literally, and include the Lord in it like he's done here, even as married couples, you know, use this as the playbook for your life, for your relationship problems. Because look, we're people. I mean, there's things that we butt heads about from time to time. Or, you know, it's amazing to me after 20 plus years now of being together, how much I do feel so united with someone in a way, like as one, that I never dreamed would be. And yet we still find things that I had no idea that we differed so much on. And sometimes it's just like, huh, well, that's, who knew? And move on. And sometimes it's like, all right, we got to stop. And we got to sort this out because, you know, how have I lived with you all these years and not known that? We got to figure this out. I mean, this is a problem. Well, use this for it. Might not be that big of a problem. It might be me. Who knew? Maybe. I mean, there is the off chance that could be the problem, you know. It's happened a few times. But that's what I want. I mean, in my earthly relationship, I want peace and rest. And for there to be trust and delight and commitment. And that's what you got to remember, that that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants that kind of relationship with us. He wants us to be able to feel that way about Him genuinely. And it dictate how we live our life. It's not real complicated. But it involves every aspect of your life. And so, where does your peace come from? Where does your rest come from? Well, He told us where to find it. And now it's just our duty, and He requires it of us to do it. And it's that easy. It's that simple. Where's your rest come from?